Welcome to the Fantasy Golf Insider Podcast. I'm Jeff Bergerson, joined as always by Zachary Turcotte.
How's it going, my friend?
It is going wonderfully. It is the Open Championship this week, the Canadian Open Championship this week. So be sure to check us out. You can find us at fantasygolfinsider.com. For all of your research tools that you need to be a successful in winning a better golf, better DFS player, fantasy golf player in general, you name it, we got it. All the research tools, articles each and every week, we talk about the events that are on the horizon that week. This week happens to be the RBC Canadian Open, which we will certainly dive into during this podcast. First, Zachary, we have to touch upon the Memorial, one of the best tournaments, fields of the year outside of the majors. And for some reason, we didn't have top-tier guys duking it out. It was pretty entertaining, I will say that. I was riveted at the end, but not the names that anyone expected at the end.
Yeah, it was very frustrating because, you know, you look at some of my you know, core plays last week, guys that I actually wrote up. My best performing players were on the punt side of things. So, you know, Alex Fitzpatrick, he's six again. Somehow they keep pricing him below 7K. Not anymore this week. They finally figured that out. Christopher Reitan was another one that I wrote up. Sixth place again. So that was great. Ryan Gerard, second place. He was a tertiary place. So a lot of those plays end up hitting. Eric Cole's a tertiary place. You're thinking, boy, you nail these plays. Now you just need the top guys to come in for you.
And right,
none of those guys really paid off. You know, Rory finished 12th. Scottie Scheffler finished 12th. You know, JT was down at like 19th. Cantlay was just okay at 17th. And then you've got, a lot of the bigger names. Xander really kind of no-showed for the week. Matt Fitzpatrick.
Oberg, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oberg wasn't great. So it was a really strange event for Memorial, because typically you look back at, you know, over the years, and there's usually quite a few bigger names that are right up there at the top. And then a guy like JT Poston, if you found JT Poston last week for Memorial, good on you, man. I look back and I'm thinking, was there any possible thing that I could have seen that would have alerted me to JT Poston? Course history, certainly nothing there. Nothing, no finishes inside the top 20 in seven starts. Pretty checkered form coming in, not really a lot to look at there. Not really a course that you would normally think of JT right. Poston for exactly. Either.
Yeah.
Maybe you look at a guy like Gerard. We've seen Gerard play pretty well at a handful of longer courses, really even in over the last year or so. Form hadn't been spectacular, but a 10th place finish a week ago certainly got him going in the right direction. And he'd finished 23rd here the previous year. So that one, at least I felt okay in terms of getting him in there on the tertiary side. But it was just a real tricky board. I'll just say for myself, it was one of those weeks, and I've written about these before, where the very first moment when I opened up the app on Thursday, and I know a lot of you guys were also right there with me, but you open it for the first time and you're just hoping, just don't be dead, right? Just don't be dead immediately. And there it was. And you know who I'm talking about here. Alex Smalley. I don't know what side of the bed that he got up on Thursday, but by the time I had even taken my first look into the app, I think he was already plus seven or plus eight. And he hadn't even finished the front nine.
Right. He shot an 83, I think.
Yeah. So he was seven over on the front nine. So yeah, maybe he was seven over when I looked for the first time. And then you just kind of close up the app. Okay, you know, move on a little bit. And the sad part was my team did rally back pretty well. It wasn't really all that bad. I probably was only about 14 points out of the money. But when you only get 8 points from one of your golfers for the week in an event where there not that many players end up getting cut, that can be a real killer. So if you're in that boat with me, I completely understand your pain. Real tough to see that coming, especially a guy like Smalley who had been so good for the last 3 months. I just one quality finish after another. And I kind of thought eventually something's going to catch up for this guy. But you just look at his history here of recent starts. He's seventh at Doral, 17th at Quail Hollow, second at PGA Championship at Aronimink, third at Colonial. I thought, man, he's proven himself at tough courses. I really can't deny the play here, but man, just didn't get it together at all. So that kind of crushed me for the week. How about you? How did you do this week?
It's interesting. I jump into a bunch of different national contests, one and dones, just to kind of monitor the industry, see who's being picked each and every week. And nobody picked JT Poston. Like yeah. In one and dones, in outrights, he was just an aberration. He found a hot putter right on the weekend. And so did Gerard. Gerard's not even a good putter, and he found a hot putter. And it happens, but it's why we have bankroll management, right? We don't go absolutely all in each and every week. We do 5 to 10% of our bankroll on a given week, because this is the type of week that's very difficult to try and predict, and no one did. So, guys who are doing 150 lineups, you might have had some 5% JT Poston exposure. That, that happens because you can sprinkle throughout the entire lower range. But, tough to pull an outright on him. And then, like you said, not too many big names up at the top of the leaderboard. Fleetwood, Burns, but that's really about it in the top 10 at least. So it was a very difficult week. Fun course, though. I like Muirfield. It came down to the end. I was riveted.
Fun tough.
Going Played back tough. And forth. I actually did end up making some money on Underdog, because in the playoffs, the odds just swing so dramatically after each shot.
Yeah.
It would be like plus 300 after a tee ball. And I'm like, well, he doesn't have that bad of a lie. So I do 300. So I was actually betting both ways for both guys to win. And I ended up money doing that just because.
Way to arbitrage it, huh?
Yeah. The odds swing so dramatically based on where they are. So like the 7-footer, they priced it as though that was a guarantee. And I'm like, really?
Oh, really?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's about 7-footer for Poston there. He probably hits that 55 to 60% of the time.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And with total, complete pressure and everything on those guys, anything can happen. So
I suppose they probably also count in, well, if he misses, he's still 50-50 on the next one, and that bumps his odds quite a bit higher than two. But it was really strange too, because the 18th hole played almost identical on the first time through, and then on the playoff hole.
Yeah,
I've never seen guys hit approach shots to almost the identical 2 points.
Yep.
Like those guys did the first time through on the playoff side. So I was fully expecting him to knock it into it. Oh, man, he drained that last one like nothing. So he's already had a pretty good read on it. And then when he missed it, he wasn't really close. Yeah, clearly just kind of a pressure sort of moment there for him, where probably just started to feel a little bit of nerves on that. But
the only thing clutch I will say about doing that on Underdog is you have to be careful, because the tape delay is real, right? Like, it is slow on our end, even if you're not like streaming, it's slow, but they have it before you see it.
Yeah.
So you have to be careful on those shots, because you'll see a dramatic swing and you're like, oh, well, I can tell you what this shot's going to be.
Right.
Because
right.
They see it before you do.
Yeah, I can definitely see that being an issue. Yeah.
Like after they both hit their tee balls, you have time before yep. Another one has taken another shot. But if it's like a tweener, you have to be careful.
Yeah, that's definitely good advice. Yeah, especially on the live betting side. But definitely some interesting opportunities there to, make a few dollars late in the day if you're feeling like doing a little bit of chasing like we needed to for this last one. But yeah, it's a good course. I like the way that it plays. You get to a score like minus 12. I feel like that's about right in terms of challenge. plenty of places for guys to blow up. The stars didn't really show up again. Scotty just continues to kind of be ho-hum this year. And you start to wonder at this point, is he going to find that gear and turn it on and win 3-4 of these down the stretch? Or is this just going to kind of be the year he comes back to the pack a little bit?
I find it very funny how nice of a guy Scotty was when he was winning.
Right.
Doesn't that kind of show you like the difference between winning and losing when people say, oh, it doesn't matter? He's been a pissant. It's been funny.
Yeah, he's been pretty loud. They caught him on the hot mic a few times.
Yep.
This year. Yeah, there were a couple colorful moments there. He's definitely had some moments with Ted Scott.
Yeah, did there you this catch year. That? That was that was fiery.
Like, jeez. You're also out there. You are also out there able to look at and try to calculate the wins a little bit. I mean, there's no rule that says the player can't, have a little bit of input as well in what's happening with it. I mean, ultimately, you're the guy swinging the club. So,
yeah.
Maybe just take a little bit of responsibility. You don't need to throw your caddy under the bus right there.
I
thought that was that. Yeah. That kind of felt sort of Rory-esque a little bit. Spieth. I don't know. Spieth. Yeah. Yeah.
When
Spieth
used to care.
I know. He doesn't even get mad anymore. No. It's kind of funny. Yeah, he's just happy to go out there and collect his whatever. Where he finished this week? He barely even made the cut, I think. And I don't think he did a whole lot over the weekend.
He's just been so irrelevant.
I know, for so long. Yeah. Yeah. But I'm sure he'll probably make $20, $30 million this year with all of his play and endorsement deals.
Oh, yeah. Easy. So yep.
Life is pretty good. But it was weird. Yeah, Rory just couldn't get it going again. Same kind of pattern as last year after the Masters. You think, is it going to be different this year? Because last year he had them kind of lined up. You thought, wow, if ever there was a year where Rory could just go through and roll through some of these majors, it would have been last year, and not at all. And then this year wins at Augusta, and again, just seems like maybe he's kind of content with that too. So. Yeah, it's an interesting season so far.
Let's dive into the RBC Canadian Open this week. Back to a large field, 150-plus players, normal cut, top 65 in ties after 36 holes. Goes back to TPC Toronto at Osprey Valley, the North Course, as it was last year. It'll also be played there next year. It's a long course. It's 7,389 yards, but plays a par 70. Mm-hmm. So it's got some meat to it, definitely. Fairways are on the wider side.
Pretty wide. Yeah, pretty wide. We haven't seen fairways. I'm looking here at a chart that's saying 35 to 37 yards at 300 yards, which compares extremely favorably to just about everywhere else that we played, going all the way back to like TPC Scottsdale.
Yep. Greens are on the larger side too. So they are 6,500 square feet, which is similar to like TPC San Antonio and even larger than Augusta. So we have the Bent/Poa mix. I know that's your favorite type of turf grass.
Exactly. We see it all the time. It all the time.
Yeah. Right? Water is only in play on three of the holes. And last year I targeted, and I wrote this in my column, I targeted long ball hitters off the tee because the fairways are wide. It's a long, grueling course. Seemed to work out pretty well last year. Quite a few guys in the top 10 to 15 who are, I would consider, long ball hitters, including Ryan Fox and Sam Burns, who were in the playoff last year. Both are long off the tee, but also like Ben and Cam Young, Cam Champ, Oberg, all were in the mix. I mean, it doesn't take away shorter ball hitters, because we see, JT Poston can win at Muirfield with a hot putter. So I just think you're giving yourself a better chance with long ball hitters. Are you using Muirfield, I'm guessing, as a comp course, Zachary?
Yeah, I am. Tricky to. I did throw in most of the Canadian Open courses that are available this week. So let's so I threw Hambleton in there as well. Not really the same, it's a par 70 Bentgrass, but it's a lot
shorter,
quite a bit shorter. Yep. But you just, I don't know, for whatever reason, you tend to see guys, there tends to be a little bit of overlap in terms of how well guys play at the Canadian Open from year to year. So I did throw those in. I guess just kind of running down, I used Detroit, Hambleton, Memorial Park, Muirfield, Oak Hill, Oakdale, which also was an RBC Canadian Open, Tahoe, TPC Deer Run, and TPC Twin Cities. So those were the ones that I ended up using for the week.
Not a bad field, considering it's the week before the U.S. Open and in Canada. So it could be a lot worse. We got Matthew Fitzpatrick on DraftKings at 10,500. Tommy Fleetwood right behind him at 10,300. Sammy Burns, who I think is going to be pretty popular this week with his good showing last week and a pretty good history here, including last year. He was lost in that playoff to Ryan Fox. Morikawa, 9,900. Wyndham Clark, 97. Brooks, 95. What are you going to do in the top tier this week, Zachary?
Oof, man. Yeah, this is challenging. Burns is definitely the one who's coming in hot. And like I said, you guys who play the Canadian Open every year, three of the last 4 years, top 10 finishes there. So, you know, having a fourth place finish last week is pretty solid. The thing with a guy like Burns is he's sort of known for being pretty consistent at specific types of courses. So if he plays well 1 year, and he'd been pretty decent at Muirfield over the years, he hadn't really contended, but he had recent solid finishes there. So he's been one who's been pretty good. I think Tommy Fleetwood is somebody that is going to be in play for me this week. It kind of feels like, and maybe I'm wrong, and maybe he'll just jump right back in and start knocking things home again, but maybe it feels like Fitz has lost a little bit of momentum of late. I know it's only been three starts, but man, going from second and then three firsts in a five-event span to being kind of inconsequential over his last three starts, I guess that's a little bit worrisome for me. What do you think of Fitz's recent sort of difficulties here? It seems like his putter has really gotten away from him in his last few starts.
Yeah, it has been his putter, definitely, which is gives me reason to believe that will eventually regress to the mean and he will start putting better again.
Right.
I own Tommy at the top. Sammy Burns is going to be uber popular. So I do end up owning Fitzpatrick in my core. Okay. And it's just because it's not that much of a price difference over guys like Wyndham Clark at 9,700 or
right.
McIntyre 9,400, who I don't feel good about either.
Right, so, yeah. It's a very tricky field for some of these guys because you look at a lot of these players in like Fitz recent form, it's started to drift a little. Still want to pay 10,500. Morikawa had been red hot the last couple times out, not so much, and then he's kind of disappeared. I mean, he hasn't played all that much.
Now, did you hear, I knew he was expecting a baby. Did he have the kid yet? I've searched online. Ooh. I can't find anything to confirm it, but he had announced it earlier this year that the kid was coming for about this time. And I have not seen anything, but that's worrisome.
Yeah. Oh boy.
I suppose even if the kid has just come, that's also worrisome too.
Yeah, I mean, you'd hope that was the case, but yeah, that's tricky. I think I trust Wyndham Clark, I think. He had three straight top 25 finishes, and he missed the cut at the PGA Championship, but then won. And then last week, he's in contention again at Muirfield. So it feels like he's kind of found his way after a rough early season start. This should be another opportunity for Brooks to cash in. 9,500 is a solid price for him, although he's had some good top 20 finishes, but he just hasn't been in contention yet either. Bobby Mack at 9,400, he's been just kind of lousy his last six starts. So I guess I can probably stay away from him for now. Victor skipped Muirfield last week, which I wasn't particularly encouraging considering he was the defending champ there. So yeah, I don't know. I guess I don't feel super positive about most of the guys in this range. Shane Lowry's been kind of picking things up of late a little bit. He's somebody who plays this event each year. He was 13th here last year. That's a decent price for him at 9,000. It feels like he's maybe starting to come out of his tailspin there a little bit. But yeah, I guess I don't love the top range this week. It's presenting some tricky choices. Are there any favorites for you in the 9,000s that you like?
Brooks.
Just Brooks?
Brooks.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm drawn to Brooks this week. I just feel like in the past, this is an event that he could give two craps right about before the U.S. Open. But I think I like his stats coming into the event. I just feel like a open track like this, man, if he can catch a hot putter, I think he could do some damage. I actually put an outright on him as well at 25.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I don't hate that, because you look at the kind of courses where he's had his big wins in his career. They've been long par 70s, right? Yep. For the most part, you know, the PGA Championship, U.S. Open, like that tends to be where he's been at his best. So,
especially if the play is difficult. One thing I was going to ask you is, have you looked at the long range weather report?
Let me pull it up.
Any weather this week? Because last year it played pretty simple, but they didn't have any weather.
I can't see the hourly. It looks like maybe very early on Friday there could be some gusts, but I see 5 a.m. it's 9 gusts 30 and 8 a.m. it's 9 gusts 25 with some light rains kind of coming in that morning, but then it kind of tapers off. Winds steady state are around 9 to 10. And then the gust is around 15 from 11 to 5 p.m. So I don't see anything super significant there.
That's on Friday?
That's Thursday.
Oh, Thursday.
Friday looks at 8 a.m. it's 3, gust 7. 11 is 9, gust 18. 2 p.m. 7, gust 17. And 5 p.m. 14, gust 24. So potentially not a lot to look at initially. I guess potentially I'd be seeing a PM AM edge for the week as far as wave wise, but it's so early. These things shift so much. I mean, even in like the Muirfield report last week, there were no storms or delays or anything that I saw weather wise going into the tournament. And we had, you know, a couple different times where weather knocked us down and ended up being delayed into, you know, finishing Sunday with quite a bit of golf there. So take that with a handful of salt, I guess, and we'll try to give you a better update by Wednesday night.
The odds are interesting this week. Did you see the odds, the outright odds? You got guys like, and we'll get to him on DraftKings, but like Michael Brennan, who seems like, you know, he's a bomber type, and we know, and you know, Vegas knows how good he is and his ceiling, but 35 to 1. Wow. Christopher Ratan, who I liked a lot, is 22 to 1.
I'm still seeing that right now. Like, whoa. I mean, yeah. Even the pricing looks like it finally, and that's weird too. Like, Ratan 22 to 1, and then I'd rather just bet Fitzpatrick at like 40 instead. Like, he's been, I think, just about as good of late. That's a strange one. There's not a lot that you love. I mean, you see a guy like Tommy Fleetwood at 14. You're just thinking, great, he's won one time in his career. I guess I'm not going to feel horrible if I skip out on him here at 14 this week. Or even like Bobby Mack, 28 to 1. I mean, he's just been straight up garbage his last six starts. So, I mean, Brooks at 25 is not a bad number. That's still there. That's pretty good for Brooks. He is the type who could turn it on. He should be feeling motivated. He needs to pick up points at events like this if he's going to continue to qualify for some of the bigger events down throughout some of the signature events. I guess there's not really that many left. I mean, we've only got Travelers. That might be just the last Travelers. One.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think there are any after that,
but nope.
Yeah, he's still got some work to do if he wants to get qualified for that one. So
yeah. What's he liking down in that low 9K, high 8K range?
Yeah, I think Wrighton and Fitzpatrick there at 8,800 and 8,700, both of those guys have been just outstanding. I mean, outside of the PGA Championship, which was a very tough and challenging and demanding course, they've shown themselves to be worthy of being on the tour this year. I mean, you look at the top tens that Fitzpatrick, that Alex has picked up. He got one at Doral, he got one at Quail Hollow, and now one at Muirfield. So clearly the guy's a hell of a player.
Yeah.
Probably not going to be too long before he wins his own individual title. He was down in the sixes last week, which was an absolute bargain again for him. 8,700, certainly not cheap by any stretch anymore, but the type of golf that he's playing, I feel like he definitely merits that price. And then Wrighton as well, there at 8,800, you just got to look at what his rolling numbers for both of these guys look like. Number one and number two in terms of strokes gained tee to green over the last 16 rounds, with Wrighton being just a little bit better than Fitzpatrick. And Wrighton's putting has been a little better overall there as well, which is maybe why he's getting the nod odds-wise. But yeah, I love those two guys this week. I like them a lot more than, you know, you just brought up Michael Brennan there at 8,500. And I think he's a good, young, talented player, but the results just haven't been nearly as consistent as either of the other two guys. So only a $200 and $300 price difference to get guys who are in much better form and hitting the ball much more consistently well. I think definitely those would probably be my favorites up there. Eric Cole at down at 8,000. I think at this point what he's doing is kind of undeniable. Four top tens in his last five starts. He did have a sixth place finish 3 years ago at this event, but ball striking incredibly good. Strokes gained tee to green seventh among this field over the last 16 rounds. The irons are red hot. So he ranks third in the field over that time frame. And he's number one in strokes gained short. So combined around the green and putting, everything just kind of coming together for him right now. And again, like Muirfield, that wouldn't necessarily have been a spot where you think, oh, Eric Cole, because he's not really a long ball type of a hitter. But yet we've seen him now handling some of these longer, tougher challenges pretty well. So I like that. I think they're probably, as long as the winds aren't too crazy, it should be a spot where there's plenty of birdies. So having that short game locked in, having that putter locked in, I think could pay dividends there for him.
We come down to some popular Canadian names. Do you put any emphasis on Canadian guys playing in their national tournament this week?
I think so. I mean, I don't think you necessarily gravitate towards them immediately. I just haven't seen much out of Corey Connors this season that I've liked. This will be the week that he shows up, but he's been mostly just a cut maker with zero upside.
He's at 78. Nick Taylor's 8,000.
Yeah, Nick Taylor is the one that I do like there. Yeah. And he's likely to be the more popular one. Obviously, he won this event 3 years ago. He had a 13th place finish here last year. He's played relatively well lately. He's made seven straight cuts. He's a little bit more expensive than normal this week, but I do think that he's somebody that could show up. Who else are we looking at here?
There's 77 Canadian. Yellow Miraju, Canadian.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's definitely a Canadian name, right?
Right.
So, yeah, and I think a guy like Pendrith I would normally like, but he just, again, is another one where he's been extremely limited as far as his upside for much of the season. So I don't think he necessarily sees this event and all of a sudden just kind of turns it on. I'm not seeing that. So no, there's not necessarily a lot of Canadians that I love down in this range just for the sake of being Canadian. Do you have any others, any other Canadians that are on your radar?
Mackenzie Hughes. he's down a bit. He's down at 72, but
Yeah, he's had some moments at this event. It's been a spot where he's been pretty good over the years. So yeah, I guess I don't mind. You're gonna have to throw some darts down here. So if you need Narrative Street to work for you, you could definitely do a lot worse than that. Because I do think the Canadians get excited. I mean, you remember Nick Taylor winning this event
three years ago.
I mean, it's probably one of my favorite victory celebration moments. You guys remember this? Like, Taylor's knocking down this mile long putt. I think he beat Tommy Fleetwood in a playoff too, right? Wasn't it Fleetwood that was out there getting beat again?
I think so. Yep.
And then Adam Hadwin comes running in, and you see the shot in slow motion. He's got the champagne and he's ready to celebrate. And this massive security guard just takes him down, just like a linebacker just crushing a punter, just drops him right in the middle of the green. Gotta be one of the all-time great celebration moments of recent memory over the last few years.
So I'm sure Adam Hadwin never hears about it, but when we were at the 3M on the Pro-Am day, we had to bring it up when he was signing the kids' pictures and flags and stuff. We had to talk about that. So he still laughs about it. He knows it was just a great moment.
Yeah, that was awesome. So yeah, I think Canadian wise, Taylor's probably the guy that I'm looking at there this week. Other guys in that range, Bud Colley's been really good throughout the season. Hasn't necessarily been in contention, but hasn't really missed a cut. I can't remember the last time when he missed a cut. But tee to green numbers are great. 17th in terms of strokes gained tee to green over the last 16 rounds, coming off of a 22nd place finish last week. So I like that. Ryan Fox at 7,800. Yeah, he hasn't been amazing, but this is still the type of course. Obviously, he's a winner here last year, was seventh at the Canadian Open 2 years ago, so I'll have some shares there. Watch out for a guy like Rico Hoey at this time of year. We've kind of mentioned this as well a few times, but you know, some of these guys that play really well in the fall, easier courses, struggle a little bit at the beginning of the season. You tend to see a lot more tougher, more challenging types of courses. You get into the summertime, though, some of these more wide-open courses, a guy like Rico, who has an excellent tee to green game, who especially can showcase it on this type of course, I think comes back into play there. So he is also one that I would be watching. And I think probably my favorite value play is down here at 7,300. Zachary Beauchu was a little surprised he didn't get a price bump. Tee to green number is great. Fifth in strokes gained tee to green, sixth in strokes gained total. Off tee, great. Irons are great. Short game, still pretty solid there. So I love what he's been doing. Four straight top 25 finishes, only a couple missed cuts on the season. A little surprised that we haven't seen his number move. So I like him. Tony Finau, I think we probably go back to him this week again.
Why not?
Yeah, I mean, he struggled at Colonial, I think, with the much, much tighter fairways. He's still not hitting the ball really well off the tee.
Right.
We're hitting into 38 yard fairways this week. That should mitigate a lot of the damage that he's been doing to himself off the tee. And he wasn't bad last week in Muirfield. This has been an event where he's had some pretty good success. I do think his game will start to come around a little bit more late in the year. So I think that's a pretty solid price. Anybody else you're looking at in the low 7K range?
Kevin, I have some exposure to Jackson Suber at 7,000. I have some exposure to, let's see here, 6,700. What do you think about the kid Benjamin James?
Oh,
any interest? Boy. Amateur?
I don't think so.
No interest?
No. I mean, I usually will just stay away from those. I mean, in fairness, we did see Blades Brown come up this season and just immediately start playing really well. Have you watched this guy play?
I have seen clips. I have not seen him live. He's a stud amateur. The odds makers obviously know about him because his odds aren't as long as they, you know, as someone normal amateur would be. But this is a place where guys kind of make their appearances, like their first appearances on tour. So
yeah,
kind of interesting. It's not his first appearance, in all fairness. He has played a few events on the PGA Tour and the US Open, but I think he's got a ton of upside. tough to say whether it's going to be this week, but I can own a few shares with some, you know, reasonable upside at 6,700.
Pull him up now. Let's see. What has he done?
He's number one amateur in the world for a little bit of time.
Yeah, let's see. So he played a handful of events last year. Missed the cut at the John Deere, missed at the U.S. Open. 33rd at Valero. Yeah, nothing real substantial on the tour yet. What has he been doing? What events has he been playing on the amateur side where he has been playing?
He was number one amateur. He was a couple of years ago top college player.
Yeah.
I think he's 20. Is he 23 or 24 now?
Let me see. Yeah, it says he's 23.
23. Yeah.
He's from Connecticut. Where did he go to college?
Is it Virginia? Don't quote me on that, but I think it was Virginia.
Yeah, that looks right.
Okay.
That looks right. Yeah.
Yeah. He's going to be a stud. It's just always tough when they first come on tour.
So right.
25 Fred Haskins Award, Golf Week preseason, first team All-American. Ben Hogan, semifinalist. Yeah, I mean.
Sometimes we catch these guys a little early. Like, you'll see him at like a, he was at the U.S. Open, but didn't really do anything. But sometimes you'll see him at like if they qualify for like the Masters or something. That's usually where some of these guys end up getting featured. And you kind of see them before they come through. Like, that's where Bryson first made his big mark before he ended up coming out onto the tour. But, no, it's a good one to watch. It's kind of a just sort of mark that down on the app. Like, just star him, kind of watch, see what he does. You know, it's very hit and miss when these guys come through. Sometimes they pop up and immediately are big stars and then fade a little. Sometimes they struggle for a while and then come alive. I mean, like, you remember like Neil Shipley a couple years ago at Augusta just shows up and he's out there playing with Tiger, and all of a sudden he's the big story of the amateur world on that time. And then he's on the Netflix show. He's on Full Swing. They're doing features on him, and now it's just struggling again. So yeah, always hard to tell. I generally am not going to be first on board with a player like that, but start watching him at least. Know who he is. I think that's probably a good place to start.
I did see Max Homa failed to qualify for the U.S. Open, lost in a playoff in Toronto, U.S. Open qualifier, so he won't be playing in the U.S. Open. Poor guy.
He's up and down. He's had a couple moments this year where he's been sharp again, and you kind of think, is he gonna rally now? Is this gonna be sort of the week where everything comes together, and then it's not. I just don't know what to think. It's been such a fast, just a precipitous fall from, you know, being a Ryder Cup guy just a few years ago to now just kind of hanging on. But hey, golf's a cruel game, so, you know, what can you say?
Give me a couple of names, 6K range, that you're somewhat interested in.
Somewhat interested in. Oh boy, let's see.
Or can tolerate one of the two.
You know, AJ Ewart at 6,900 has been pretty good lately. You look at him over like the last 12 weeks or so. He's made the cut in what has he made? He's made actually four top 25 finishes out of his last seven starts, including three of his top four. Short game, really solid. 33rd in terms of all around the green play, third in terms of putting over the last 16 rounds there. So putting the ball pretty well. Tee to green hasn't been as great, but maybe the wide open fairways will be at least somewhat favorable to his play. Who else would I look at here? Maybe a little bit of Kevin Roy. I've kind of written him up over the last couple of years. Again, another one of those guys where if you look at his record last season, very hit and miss, very checkered, but when he gets to the easier courses, it tends to be places that he has his best results. He'll have a lot of top 25s. Had one here a year ago at 18th. So I guess I think you could probably take some chances there at 7. Boy, anybody else down here? Not Not really any that are standing out for me that much. Nah, I just don't really see a lot of guys who have a ton of form. Tom Hoagie has been okay. He's been a cut maker. 2 weeks he's had out of his last eight, he's had top 10 finishes. The rest of his finishes, not so good there. But, you know, $6,600, that's not a horrible price for him. Yeah, that's about it. I think this will likely be a week where I'm able to load up on enough guys in the low sevens that I don't need to explore the sixes
right
all that much. The pricing structure is so much flatter.
Yep.
Without a Rory, without a Scotty, you know, you get Matt Fitzpatrick at 10-5. That just really doesn't take as big of a bite out of your salary cap overall. So for me, it'll be that top range all the way down to, you know, sevens and then a couple guys in the sixes. But yeah, I don't see a lot of need to take a lot of risk on those guys.
U.S. Open next week. DraftKings should be dropping the prices in the next couple few days, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Odds are out, so excited for that. Anything else, Zachary, before we get out of here?
No, not too much. Yeah, I get the U.S. Open next week. Travelers after that, and then then we'll be speeding towards the Open Championship in July and then the playoffs. So it's season is just cruising by, but we've still got a couple of great months left here throughout the summer through two more major championships as well as the playoffs. So still plenty of time to jump in and join us for the rest of the way.
All right. With that, we will leave you. We'll be talking to you soon with U.S. Open coverage. But with that, we'll leave you with the RBC Canadian this week. Best of luck, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Good luck.